Amidst the hustling, clamoring world, sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of God speaking to my soul. But in this quiet time alone, as I approach His holy throne, His tender words fall gently on my ears. He still speaks. I know His voice. Sweeter sound never heard by mortal ears. And to think that God, by His own choice, still speaks to me, it makes me rejoice. He still speaks. I know.
Those who doubt that God still speaks today, they laugh and mock when we say we've heard from God.
But the still small voice of God is heard above the doubts of this world. His timeless words ring out with hope today. He still
our Bibles this morning, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read two verses this morning, verse 10 and 11. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. As you're finding your place, or if you've already found it, and you're able, please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage, this powerful passage in the Word of God this morning. Use it to help us. God, help us today. We're here not just to be here. We're here to get something from heaven. And Father, to accomplish that, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he preaches to us. Help us to use that Holy Spirit to get what we need in our lives. And Father, if there's somebody here in this room or listening on the internet, and does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray they'd trust him today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we're going to ask that you sit still and listen. No one really needs to get up and go out of the room unless there's some kind of a medical reason. I do not preach long. I said I do not preach long. Amen. Thank you. All right. Help me out, folks. So I want you to sit and listen. I want you to turn your phone off. Make sure that is off, please. And look this way just a moment. One day very soon, every person that is a child of God is going to stand before Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it the judgment seat of Christ. It is a judgment unique to just Christians. That time will be where everyone that's a child of God, a saved person. Listen to me. Not everybody that goes to church, not everybody that claims to be a Christian, everybody that is a child of God, born again, you and I have a one-on-one appointment with Jesus Christ one day, and we're going to stand before him. And here's what's going to be revealed that day. How did you live your life? Not to determine whether or not you go to heaven. What is not revealed at the judgment seat of Christ is sin. See, when you accept Christ as your Savior, your sin is judged when Jesus died on the cross and went to the grave and rose again the third day. That sin is paid for. But what is revealed for the Christian is this. Look at me. What did you build your life upon? If you'll notice in your Bibles again, look carefully, please, with me. Didn't read all the context of this passage as it talks about the judgment seat, but in the context of it, it talks about foundations. And it says in verse number 10, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But verse 10, look at the end of the verse. It says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. And that word how is what's going to be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. And in that word how is the what, the who, and the why of what you lived your life for. The what, the who, and the why. Now verse number 11 tells you who the what should be. Well, the foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the who you ought to build your life on, Christ. That's also the what you ought to build your life on. That's also the why you ought to build your life, because of Jesus Christ. The foundation of Jesus Christ has already been laid for us. For a child of God, now listen to me carefully, it is possible now for you and for me as a child of God to build our lives on the wrong foundation. Remember that parable Jesus taught about two guys who built a house? One guy went out and found a nice piece of flat sand, built his house. Another man went along, probably not far from him, and he dug down, Luke's gospel tells us, he dug down till he found rock and founded it upon a rock and built his house. Hey, the guy with the sand, he was done and barbecuing before the other guy even found the foundation yet. Huh? He already had his Traeger fired up and he was ready to go. He was sitting on the, laying in his hammock, right, chewing on pineapple, eating shrimp, watching this poor fool over here digging down in the sand to find foundation stone. He took the time to get to build his house on the right foundation. The other guy's got his house built. Doesn't say anything about his house being built improperly. It just says he built his house. Oh, but then the storms came. And the man who had the right foundation stood. The guy who didn't, his house fell, and great was the fall. Now you look at me, people, you listen to me. You can go ahead and build your life any way you want to, but when the storm comes, you're going to find out what kind of foundation you got. Huh? You're going to find out, did you build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ? But what does that mean? Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It means that he has already, if you'll notice the tense of verse 11, he's already laid that foundation. In verse 10, the guy talks about, I've laid a foundation. Another guy's built on that, but let's make sure how we're doing this. But then let's make sure almost certainly we're building on the right foundation, the foundation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? It means, number one, this. Jesus has laid the foundation for salvation. See, we think, and biblically it's correct, We think that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and went to the grave and rose again the third day, which he did. And that payment Jesus made on the cross, that is our salvation. You're not going to get saved any other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3, 5, and 6. And if that one doesn't cork you, how about John 3, 16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we're right in believing and understanding that Jesus came to die on the cross to pay for our sins, to purchase for us salvation. However, the foundation for that was laid before Jesus ever came. I'll read it to you this morning. Listen very carefully. The book of 1 Peter chapter 1. If you want to turn over there quickly, you can, but I'll be done before you get there. 1 Peter 1:18. Please listen. For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, listen, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Here's what that says. Before God made everything, and God made it, it didn't evolve. Before God created everything in the mind of God the Father, in the mind of God the Son, and in the mind of God the Holy Spirit, in his ability to foreknow, he looked down and saw that that world he would create would inhabited by people, and those people would sin. And God, in his mind, decided, you know what? We're going to go and pay for this. And the Son decided, and the Father decided, and the Spirit of God decided before the foundation of the world that it would be Jesus who would purchase our redemption. His precious blood would pay for that. And you can't buy it, no silver or gold. And you can't earn it, no tradition. And no religion, no man, no deed, no work, no life. Nothing man could do. Because in the mind of God, before we ever drew a breath in this world ever existed, Jesus Christ was going to be the way of salvation. That's called the foundation of salvation, my friend. And may I say to you this morning, don't mess with that one, friend. Leave it alone. I don't care how many religions come along and tell you you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to live this way and you got to be that way. I don't care how many isms and philosophies there are. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference. You see, in the mind of God, he had already decided before man ever existed, he knew man would sin and Jesus would be the Savior. There'll be no other way of salvation. God has never had another way of salvation. God will never have another way of salvation. There is only one way of salvation, and that person is Jesus Christ. He has laid the foundation of salvation. So you see this morning, you can build your entire life on a religion, but if the foundation is not salvation through Christ alone, it's the wrong foundation. It not only will not stand the storm of time and test of life, it will not stand the judgment of God. For Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done mighty works in your name and cast out devils in your name and prophesied in your name? And he looks at them and says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. So religion isn't going to help folks. It's just not. So, well, then why do you have church? And what's this all about? What's this whole thing? See, you got the idea that somehow going to a church somewhere, a religion, getting in a baptistry, living a good life, doing the do's and the don'ts is going to get you there. It won't get you there. What it'll get you is a good, moral, clean life, but you still wind up in hell. Because Jesus has laid the foundation of our salvation before we ever existed, and don't mess with it. It's a good axiom, but it works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Salvation's through Christ. The foundation of Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. Now then, is that how you understand your salvation this morning? Is that, wait, look at me now. Is that how you hope to stand before God someday and give an account of yourself to him? Sometimes I think we get the idea we're going to go up there and make all these speeches and go through all this rigmarole with God and try to outsmart God like we try to outsmart everybody else. Sorry, Spanky, it's not going to work like that. Your account before God is, he already knows the answer. He's just simply going to stand there and say, okay, is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Was there a day you trusted Christ, you got saved? Hey, guess what? Your name's written there. You're a saved person. If it isn't, you're not. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Don't build a religious life without salvation that Christ has paid for. So then there is the foundation of salvation that he has laid for us. Then there's the foundation Jesus has laid for our Christian life. The wonderful thing about our Savior coming to die for us was there was a 33-year period where he walked this earth. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knew what it meant to be brokenhearted, disappointed. He knew what it meant to be hungry. He knew what it meant to go without. He knew what it meant to come into his own, and his own receive him not. He experienced every phase of life, with the exception of the senior citizen year, and I wish he'd have got there, but too bad. But every phase of life of a child, a young person, teenager, and a young person, he experienced all those periods of life. He was tempted directly by Satan himself. You can do that today, just go to Congress. But the truth of the matter is, it's fascinating when you consider the fact that our Savior, now look at me, his earthly life is a foundation for the earthly life that we live. Hey, God's plan, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now here's what happens. Religion gets that turned around, tries to get you to live the Christian life without salvation. No, you get saved, then you live the Christian life. And my friend, if you don't have that in that order, you don't have salvation. Is that clear? Oh, once you get saved, however, now the life of Jesus. Why do you think there's so much in this book that starts? You say, well, there's a lot of Old Testament in there, Pastor Johnson. Yeah, he's pictured here in this Old Testament. Throughout this thing, we saw it the other night in our Bible study on the ark, for goodness sakes. I mean, he's pictured throughout the Old Testament. And then there's Jesus' life in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then there's Jesus working through the church in the book of Acts. Then there are the churches that were started that preached Christ and lifted him up. And we have all this example of who Jesus is and how he lived his life. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Johnson. Now you're trying to tell me that here's Jesus Christ, who was tempted but never sinned, and I'm supposed to be like him? Boy, that's awful. That's tough, Pastor Johnson. That's pretty rigid. Boy, I'll tell you, I mean, think about it, Pastor Johnson. You mean to tell me my life is supposed to be just like that? I'm supposed to set a standard of perfection in how I live my life? Yes. Because the Bible says, be ye holy even as I am holy, God said. He also went as far as to say, be ye perfect as I am perfect. But the perfection there is maturity. But wait a minute. See, Pastor Johnson, we all fail at that, don't we? Well, I don't know how you're doing. Wait a minute. Well, yeah. Well, then, Pastor Johnson, you mean to tell me I'm supposed to shoot for holiness and perfection in my life? Yeah. A lot better than a lot of this Christianity that brings the Christian life back to where we're living. Hey, look at me. Bring it back to where we're living. Worldly, fleshly, carnal. You know what I mean? It's all about entertaining ourselves, taking care of ourselves, kind of me doing my own thing, living my own life the way I want to do it. That's not Christian living, friend. You understand that? And you're messing up on your foundation because you're building a foundation on what's acceptable to you or to this world. You better take heed how you're building thereon now, because at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to look at our life and he's going to say, you what? You thought you're supposed to get your name in the Fox's Mark of Martyrs because you showed up to church on a Sunday morning? Really? You really thought your Christian life was, you know, let's not get into all the rules and the regulations and the restrictions. Well, I got news for you, bro. There's a bunch of them in there. And they're all to guide and direct us in our lives. And no, it's not just about rules and regulations, but that's a part of the deal. That's a part. Am I up here or am I preaching by myself? I said it's a part of the deal. Why do you think he wrote the law of God on your heart, my friend? That's a part of the program. Now, don't make it just about rules and all you got to do is X, Y, Z and I'm in, I'm good. No. We're talking about being like Jesus. But my foundation shouldn't be I'm satisfied with where I am. I'm satisfied with what I do. I'm satisfied with how I live because I am not like Jesus. You ain't either in case I bust in your bubble. But the truth of the matter is, here's the deal. Our lives should be building with a constant desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, the more I learn about him, the more I find out I am not like him. I'm glad Jesus didn't live in the day of cars. I'm glad. I don't know if he ever got yelled at a chariot, but I'm going to tell you what. I about lost my salvation on the way some people drive. Seriously. They get in front of you and they got nowhere to go and they're in no hurry to get there. Most of them because they're looking at their stupid telephone. Say, don't you do that? Shut up. The truth of the matter is, here's the deal. No, first of all, no, I don't unless it's very important and I'm trying to find a restaurant. But here's the deal. I can't. See, we either get discouraged and bring my living back to where I want, and then what you're doing is you're taking away from the foundation of Jesus Christ and what he intended for my Christian life. He gave me enough info in here to help me. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image, even as by the Spirit of God, 2 Corinthians 3:18. That means the more I look into the glass of God's word, I behold that, and I let that stamp upon my life, and I put it into practice in the way I live. All of a sudden, God, through the Holy Spirit of God that indwells me, begins to change and make me more like Jesus. Change, transform simply means the metamorphosis of how that ugly, hairy caterpillar fastens itself under an eve or a branch, forms the chrysalis, and inside that chrysalis goes a miraculous work of evolution. God's creative work. And all of a sudden, the chrysalis breaks open, and out comes a big, hairy caterpillar. No. A beautiful butterfly. What a transformation from the inside to the outside. That book will change you on the inside and the outside. We stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to say, you did what with your Christian life? You checked the world's approval? You tested all that kind of Christianity out there that was just like the world, talked like it, act like it, lived like it, spoke like it, listened to it, did it, everything else. You mean you followed that one when I had already given you the foundation of Jesus Christ? Take heed how you build their own now. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Foundation of our salvation, foundation of our Christian life, and also the foundation, ladies and gentlemen, of our eternity. We love that Jesus died on the cross and was buried. I hope we love the fact that he rose again because that's part of the package. When he rose from the dead, he knocked a hole in death big enough to take everybody with him that trusts Christ. Because death could not hold him, death will not hold you. Child of God, because death could not hold Jesus, death will not hold you. That means, that it's not that you'll have eternal life someday. It means you have it right now. Right inside of you, that he that hath the Son hath life. That's eternal life. You have that now. It's yours. So all we have to do is just drop this shell that we have here, and then it's on to heaven and on to eternity. He's already laid the foundation for all that. See, Jesus came like a man, walked this earth like a man, still God in human flesh, then went to the cross, suffered a horrible death, went to the grave. 3 days and three nights later, boom, he punched a hole through death. Stone rolled away, not to let him out. He was already gone. I came out of that tomb, rose from the dead, ascended back to heaven, ever living to make intercession for us. And now, for 2,000 plus years, he has been preparing us a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go there. So that's your heaven on earth people. Get that. I go there, not here, there, not here, not this place, there to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Mrs. Glasgow went to heaven this morning. So whatever hour it was, she drew her last breath on this earth. She drew her next breath in heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. In these 39 years that I pastored this church, I've done almost 390 funerals for babies, children, teenagers, young people, senior saints. Well, when that storm comes, you better know he's got the foundation of eternity. We say a parting goodbye, but not a permanent one. And they step over to the next life. Say, well, that must be a nice thought, Pastor Johnson. You can keep that nice thought, Spanky. I got better than a nice thought. I have an anchor safe and sure. I have a hope, not a hope so, but a hope that comes, a confidence that comes from knowing they're on the other side. And the more we send over there, the sooner we're going to get to go join them, I believe. I don't know. Christ is coming back. He's got eternity settled, ladies and gentlemen. He's got the time frame settled. He's got everything set. All the foundation is laid for eternity, eternal life, and eternity in heaven. So you want to build your life on what now? Look at me. You want to build your life on what's here? Yeah, take care of things. Pay your bills. Work. W-O-R-K for some people. It's not a dirty four-letter word. It's a good word. Work. Those who don't need you. Work. Take care of things. Provide for matters. Be wise about the future and all that stuff that we do, but make sure that's not all that you do. Make sure that's not all your life. Make sure you don't rise and fall with the stock market. And make sure you don't rise and fall with the economy and who's in the White House and who's not in the White House and who's the governor and who we wish wasn't the governor. And all that stuff. Hey, get that. Listen to me. Don't get all caught up in that now. Don't get all caught up in the COVID thing. Yeah, you know what your problem is, friend? You got sand out there underneath that house, and this storm out there is shaking it to death, isn't it? Ah, but other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. Jesus Christ, eternity, heaven. That's a reality, my friend. Oh, yes. I hear Christians say it. I don't know how people face what they face in their life without the Lord. And I wonder sometimes, do we even believe that? Do we really think, hey, do we really believe that Jesus is the master of the sea? He's the master of eternity. He has conquered death. Do we realize what that means? So then I'm going to live my life today. I'm going to go home today and decide whether or not I'm going to go back to church tonight or not. What foundation are you building on, friend? Think about that for a moment. How did you get that in there? Because I'm a preacher, I pastor a church. The truth of the matter is, what's the deal? But that's just one sliver of an idea. Why is it people can't get away from their telephone? Because they're laying the wrong foundation. It's all about this life and what's on that stupid phone and what's happening in somebody's thing and their stuff and what's on TikTok and what happens with YouTube and everything else. It's foolishness. So why don't you get involved in that, Pastor Johnson? Because I have a life. And number one, you know what? I'm not concerned about this stuff. It doesn't concern me. I pay attention to the news, unfortunately, and I try to follow things and be aware and plugged in and informed and all the rest of the stuff that goes on, which most Americans are not. The ignorance of this nation is killing us. People don't even know where Mount Rushmore is. Never forget that day on the airplane. Mom and her teenage girl. We're getting off the plane, and the teenage girl goes, Mom, isn't Mount Rushmore in Arkansas? And the mom goes, no, honey, it's in Missouri. Everybody in the plane turned around and looked at him like, and I was on the plane with these people. I cannot believe that. And apparently they have children. Unbelievable. Say, well, aren't you concerned about midterm elections and the next thing around the stuff with the thing? And what about that guy in Sacramento? And thing? You know, I'm trying to stay plugged in, but I'm telling you what, this world is not my home. Hey, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You get to heaven, this is going to be revealed. What did you build your life on? Who did you build your life on? And why did you do that? All in that one little word, how. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Who and what and why is your foundation this morning? Let's stand, please, would you?